Okay, we are looking at Elizabeth tonight. And all of us have read the Elizabeth story because every year at Christmas, we're reading about Mary. And Elizabeth is part of that. But I think Elizabeth's life gets glossed over because Mary is such a big picture, and she should be, because she's the mother of Jesus. So Elizabeth's husband was a priest and a descendant of Aaron, and his name was Zacharias. He was also from his line of family to have no earthly inheritance. You see this in Joshua 13:33. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord of God of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said to them. They were to be fully and completely dependent on the people's faithfulness and the Lord's faithfulness for survival. God's plan was that the people's offerings were to be used to help support the priests. This was a responsibility that came with those priests because their job was to teach the people. They depended on the people's spiritual health for survival. So this gives us a window into Elizabeth's life when she agreed to marry her husband. She wasn't just marrying a guy who she loved and walking out a normal life, marrying a shepherd or marrying a carpenter or whatever the trade was in that time. When she married Zacharias, what she was agreeing to was that God was going to be her provider through him and that she would have no earthly possessions. For not just her, but she was also saying that for her children. That's how it was going to be. So imagine if you fell in love with a pastor, but in order to marry him, you'd have to understand that your children would have no earthly inheritance. That means you won't buy a home, you won't own a home, and you will not own land. So it's not just like everybody else. She's not just deciding to marry the love of her life. There would be other extreme commitments that she would need to understand, and that she was agreeing to marry ministry. In this time, it was a very disciplined and very structured life. Not only this, but she was agreeing for this for herself and her children, like I said. So no physical inheritance, but she understood when she said yes to him that this inheritance was much greater, even though it was hard to grasp and understand in this world. The inheritance she received was one of full and complete dependence on the Lord. We're going to see as we read through Elizabeth's story that she walked that. We're going to read through some verses and zoom in on a certain areas that the Lord showed me. So let's start in Luke 1:5-24. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child. Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you of these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And now after those days, his wife conceived. And she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now let's jump down to 34 and picking up a little bit in Mary's story. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord." Now skip down to verse 57. Sorry, I know this is a lot, but we'll get there. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." That was very common. That's what they always did. Someone in their relative, that's the name they would use. So it's strange to them that they weren't doing that. So they made signs to his father that he would have him called, what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge to the salvation of to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Wow. So now you can see, it's a lot, why we have to zoom in on a few points. It's a beautiful story of Zacharias, John the Baptist and Zachariah and Elizabeth. But tonight we're looking at Elizabeth, and all we have to do is the scripture, right? It's a small little glimpse of her life, but what we see is a woman with amazing faith. We see a woman who is quick to obey, and then we see a woman who would go on to need great strength because we know the story of her son, right? The first thing I saw is that Elizabeth was the daughter of Aaron. So we see Elizabeth lived this life of ministry as a child. And then she turned around and chose it again for her own family. That says a lot about her parents. We see, more importantly, what Luke writes about Elizabeth and Zacharias is that they were seen as both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. When the scripture uses the word blameless, it does not mean sinless. It just means they were without blame, meaning when they blew it, they knew it, and they quickly asked for forgiveness, and they got it right with the Lord. They believed what God said, and they followed his plan. What is that called? That's called faith, believing that God says who he is. So Elizabeth and Zechariah were already doing this in their life when God came to them and chose them to be the parents of the prophet John the Baptist. So God looked into this home of Elizabeth, who had no child, and he said to her, "She loves my law. She walks in my ways. I'm going to trust her. She's being entrusted with the one who will make the way for the Messiah." So Elizabeth's character is pretty amazing. We never see, well, at least it's not mentioned of her sinning. Now, of course, she does because she's human, right? But it's not mentioned in the scripture. And we also don't see that she's not even bitter about not being able to have a baby. At least it's not mentioned, right? It's a beautiful thing because women who are barren in this culture, that they endured a lot of hardship and ridicule. She not only was she in the situation where she married a priest and has no inheritance in the worldly standard, but she has no lineage. I don't know if I can say that right. And what they would see as a blessing from God. So the world is just looking at her differently, and yet God is looking at her completely the opposite way. You see, Elizabeth just stays faithful to her God despite her circumstances. She had no, home that she could say this is ours to claim during such times that would make her feel insecure and unsure. She just stayed close to her God. The few words that we get from Elizabeth are words of excitement. It only comes from a time that she had with Jesus. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 23. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among my people." So what do we know? We know Elizabeth was faithful to the Lord during a very hard time in her life. And the Lord was faithful to hear her and act. It said the Lord heard her cries. Isn't that so, comforting to know that when you're crying alone and no one sees, that he sees. He's probably sitting right there with you and you don't even realize that. He saw her cries. Because what does it say? The Lord heard her cries about her being barren. She saw it as a blessing, even in her old age. So then when she gets pregnant, she's not complaining, "How am I going to do this? Look how old I am. All the issues." Like I always say now at 52, I mean, we are wore out when we have the grandkids for a few hours. I'm like, okay, I need a whole day to rest the next day because you're just exhausted. But it's a good exhaustion. It's just I'm not meant to have a baby at 50. What am I now? 54. There's no way, like staying up through the night, it's a lot of fun though. So she did feel judged about her inability to have a baby because it says, "You have taken away my reproach among the people." So she felt that. She felt that humility. She was very humbled. And probably, girls whispering in other sections about her and that she's less because she's not a mom. All those things that go with it, I can only imagine. We know she experienced some hardship because of the walk she was choosing to walk. We know she was handling it well because the Lord called her righteous. So what do we not know? There's a little phrase here that jumped out at me, and it says in Luke 1, verse 24, that she hid herself for 5 months. Wow. I just could stay there forever. This is really huge to me. The word does not tell us why she hid herself either. Now, if we put that statement on top of Mary, we can understand why Mary hid herself. She had a lot to go through and a lot to, what are we going to say to them? Like, Joseph, how do we answer questions? Like, she was still a virgin, so I can understand why Mary did that. But Elizabeth, So for Elizabeth, it wouldn't be the case because she was already married, and it was a joyous thing that she was pregnant, right? So why did she hide herself for 5 months? We can assume it wasn't shame. So why hide? What does she do? She pulls back. I don't really think it hiding. I think she pulls back. She finds out what Gabriel says to Zacharias, and it's a lot. She had no warning. She just came to her husband who could not speak. who had to tell her what God's plan was on a writing tablet. So you know us women with all of our questions and how we can go on and on and on. He had a tablet to answer her. Can't imagine how difficult that could have been. Can you imagine finding on a tablet from your husband some really important news and not being able to debate or like talk back with him? So she finds out she's pregnant and all that Zacharias had said is true. She chooses to hide herself to meditate on the fact that the Lord chose to bless her. Listen again to the angel's words in verse 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So she knows she's going to have a boy. She knows he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a foreign concept for that time. We see the Spirit came upon people. We see that all through the Judges. But be filled with the Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord. He will also go before him and in the spirit and power of Elijah. So Elizabeth would have known what that meant because she was a daughter of who? Of Aaron, right? The line of Aaron. They were all priests. And she was married to a priest. That was a prophecy. That was the prophecy of the forerunner of Christ. So this is what Elizabeth gets on a tablet. You have this incredibly wise woman whose heart is to follow the Lord. And what does she do? She chooses to wait and hide herself. She had been walking with the Lord for a long time. I think, wow, what wisdom. What wisdom to pull back. She didn't run and tell her best friends or tell her family or tell a bunch of people and get counsel. She just wanted to be alone with her God. What a beautiful, incredible relationship she had with our Lord. Absolutely beautiful. This is huge for Elizabeth. She's carrying the child who will usher in the Messiah. Keep in mind, they're coming off of a time of hundreds of years of silence from the Lord, and now this is what they get. I mean, it's pretty exciting. This is like a movie. This would be a really fun movie to watch. Because it is. It's just so exciting, you know? I don't know if the Lord revealed to her what her son's life was going to look like. I'm thinking he didn't, because that probably would have put a lot of fear in her life. And I'm glad we don't know the future. But I think he ministered to her because this statement invoked enough discernment and wisdom in her to pull back for 5 months. Not 5 weeks. Not 5 days. 5 months. So this time of silence and reflection that Elizabeth had was so special. God could have done anything to Zacharias, but what did he choose to do? He chose to mute him. So she could not hash out plans with Elizabeth. He couldn't hash them out. Like, this is what we need to do. We need to prepare this way. Maybe we need to sit with the Lord longer. Maybe we need to study more. Maybe, I don't know, go to the priest more and get anointed. You know, who knows what they were thinking. He had to be silent and listen to the Lord and what their family was going to walk through. In wisdom, Elizabeth chose the same thing, to hide where she was in a quiet home. Imagine if your husband could not talk and no giggling. I think, imagine if we could not talk. Our husband would probably enjoy that, right? When she chose to be a priest's wife, she understood her calling very well. You can see that in her behavior and how she chooses to respond and not chooses to react. When we choose a life that is going to follow hard after the Lord, what we choose is surrender. And that's what she chose. Just like us, we choose Christ, we choose surrender. Christ chooses us and we say yes when we lay down all of our plans, and then he makes us a spiritual house being filled with the Holy Spirit to accomplish his plans through us. If we're surrendered, if we're submitted to him, if we're not busy walking out our own plans, if we're not distracted by this world, that's what happens. We become his representatives here on earth, and we become the representatives of not just him, but of his goodness, right? That's what your fellow coworkers, your friends, that's what they see. They see his goodness in your life, despite what you're walking through, right? Then after her secluding herself for 5 months, you get her reaction to Mary. And it's not one of fear, like I said. What is happening to us? She emerges in complete surrender and amazing joy for what God is doing. She isn't shocked when her cousin comes in pregnant through the door. It's almost like she knew. She is completely full of joy, and I believe it's because she took those 5 months to sit on what God was doing with her, to understand and prepare herself what she had been called to. I think about just even our time daily in our devotions. If I sit for 15 minutes, I'm a lot better of a person. But if I sit for a little longer, a half hour, or even a little longer, I can then begin to hear the Lord speaking to me. If I just wait and I'm patient and I stop thinking about the wash or what I'm going to make for dinner or the dog running in circles in front of me needing to be walked or whatever it might be, you know, how your work day was the day before or getting ready for work, whatever it is. There's a difference when you take that time and you truly just sit at his feet. God answered her prayer with great honor, but even in this, there was going to be great sacrifice. Because her little boy was going to go on to challenge the very priestly ministry that she grew up from, right? And that she had submitted her life to as a little girl and growing up in that. Because we know he was going to be John, he's going to become the prophet. We don't know if she ever got to see what John the Baptist was going to do. We know John didn't choose to do the things his dad had done, right? Because where was he? He was out in the wilderness, dressing funny and eating funny things. So he definitely wasn't doing what his dad was doing. That had to be interesting, a conversation among the women. What is your son doing? Why is he dressed like that? What is happening? What is he eating? He's weird. So she was dealing with a really strong-willed, godly little boy, right? Who was going to be a godly man. So you know what God chose? He chose a really strong, godly woman to be his mom, to raise him, right? God knew exactly what he would need, and it was Elizabeth. So if any of your moms are ever struggling with your children, God called you and only you to be their mom, and he will give you what you need in each season of any of their lives. Just lean on him, wait for him, cry to him, he'll give you wisdom. So what I see in Elizabeth is that her prayer was answered, but it didn't look anything like what she thought it might be. But she still surrendered to God's expectations instead of her own. She raised a man who would go on to fully surrender to the Lord's will, even when it was hard and even when he had doubts. When you think about John being in prison, he sent two of his disciples to reassure him of who Jesus was, right? He needed that reassurance. These are real people just like us. So when John is sitting in a prison cell, not really know, he doesn't know he's going to be beheaded, right? I don't know, what would you do if you knew that in a cell? You can't really run from it. He's sending his disciples to see, do I have enough faith to walk this walk? That's what we all do, is we go back to him daily. When you go back and you sit at his feet, okay, I finished this day. Tomorrow I'm going to sit at your feet. Lord, do I have enough faith to handle this? Am I placing my faith in the right places in order to walk the call that you have placed in my life? And each one of you has a call in your life, and you have no idea when God might come to you while you're folding laundry, doing dishes, cooking a meal, or whatever it might be, and tell you something amazing. Just like Elizabeth got, are our hearts ready and prepared to receive the call when it comes? The way that we do that is to be righteous. All that means, I know it's a fancy word that sounds really, I don't know, sounds kind of snobbish to me, but it's not. It just means that we believe God and then we do what it says, what he says. It makes us righteous. So when the calls are little or big, it's all the same. We do just that when he says we walk in it, right? We be obedient. In Psalm 51, 15 through 17, it says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. Thank you, Jesus. We do not have to do that. I would really struggle if I had to sacrifice any animal. I'm sorry. I'm always like thanking God that I don't have to do that. I can barely kill a bug. I know I have issues. Thank you for Jesus' son. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you do not despise. I love that. That's what Elizabeth and Zacharias were doing all their life. The physical sacrifices, literally in the temple. They were found righteous because they were willing to be humble before their God and be obedient to the things that he called them to. So Elizabeth would emerge from these 5 months of being hidden with the Lord to receive the Messiah into her home. She would be a woman that would carry a child that would be filled with the Holy Spirit from her womb. She would be in a place to instantly recognize the Lord when he walked through that door. This is a woman who's familiar with the voice of her God leading her. So what can we pull from this amazing woman, Elizabeth? She chose a life of surrender. She chose a life of service to her God. And even if you're not a pastor's wife, you can choose that too. She understood the call. It required time with her God. It required her to slow down. 5 months. The surrendered life always requires us to pull the strength for the battle from the Lord and from him alone, not from our friends. And listen, she couldn't even pull it from her husband. God had silenced him. I think of all the things that I go to Tony and I'm like, you know, my emotions are like crazy, you know, especially being in postmenopausal at 54. And just your emotions and everything going on, I can get a little crazy. And I just talk to him and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for you. I can't imagine if he couldn't talk to me and do that to me. Like, you know, I always imagine, Lord, if you took him home before me, what am I going to do? Because he really is that for me. He really does calm me. He is my peace. And she couldn't do that. She had to go to him. She had to go to the Lord. Finally, she accepted the blessing of the answered prayer in the way that God chose to give it. She accepted it in joy and understanding the end game. Her Messiah and heaven were ultimately the end game. So girls, this is our roadmap. If you're praying about something that you feel is never going to come, are you choosing just to simply surrender it again, even when it looks hopeless like Elizabeth did? If God has answered your prayer like Elizabeth, are you looking for the bigger objective in it? Not just that you got the blessing, but that the prayers and the blessing are coming with a purpose. Because even in the answered prayer and the blessings, there may be sacrifice. So are we willing to accept the outcome of our prayers with joy, having only eternity in focus? Honestly, ladies, this is my prayer as a pastor's wife, as a mother, and as a wife. That's my prayer for us to be eternity focused. It's so easy to get distracted in this world. It's just like it's so loud and obnoxious. I would encourage you all to live this every day, this way too, because this is the only way we make it through this world as unscathed as possible. I say unscathed because I know we all have a lot of scars, but this is how we make it through. Eternity in focus, the blessings come with a purpose, and then we walk out those blessings with him. Amen. All right, let's pray.